Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. What a sweet privilege to have the opportunity to share with you the glorious truths of God's amazing grace. Many of you have heard the name Horatio Spafford. He was a prominent, successful businessman in Chicago in the middle 1800s. He had enjoyed incredible success. He was wealthy, influential, well-known. But overnight, he lost almost everything. The Great Chicago Fire, which we've all heard about, left him in near financial ruin, and he decided to relocate his family. At 2 o'clock in the morning on November the 22nd, 1873, he loaded his wife and four daughters onto a French luxury liner. It was the largest and most luxurious in the world, and he kissed them goodbye, promising to meet them in France in a few weeks as soon as he could settle his business affairs in the United States. And then several days out of port, the luxurious ship sailing peacefully toward France was rammed by an English ship. It took the largest and best, most luxurious ship in the entire world just 2 hours to sink to the ocean floor. 226 people died on that ship, including all four of Spafford's daughters. 9 days later, when the survivors landed safely at Cardiff, Wales, Spafford received a short wire from his wife, and it contained two words, "Saved alone." As soon as possible, he booked passage on a ship to Europe to join his wife, and on the way over, the captain called Spafford to the bridge of the ship. He said, "According to my calculations, we are now passing over the very place where your children drown." Spafford thanked the captain, went back to his cabin, and penned these now famous lines: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The man who had lost his business, his home, and his children said to a friend, "I'm glad I can trust the Lord when it costs me something." When he and his wife finally met and embraced one another, she said, "We've not lost our children. We've just been separated for a little while." How I pray that God might give me such grace in the face of such trials. How could that man and his wife bear such trials and losses and such heartaches with such incredible composure? And only one answer can possibly be given. Horatio Spafford and his wife believed God. They were convinced in their heart that God is too good to do wrong and too wise to make a mistake. Turn with me to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And in that chapter, we have our Lord's instruction to his disciples as he sent them to confess him in every generation to be the disdain of this world. He assures us that our own families at times may even rise up against us. And in the midst of all these things, he says, "Fear ye not." Upon what grounds could he make such an admonition? How can that be reasonable? Read Matthew chapter 10 with me. Jesus said in verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And with these words, our Lord Jesus assures us that none of God's elect shall ever be in any real danger or suffer any real harm, for we're under the special care and protection of God Himself. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Notice here, the fact of divine providence. Our Savior's word in verse 30 could be understood, "The very hairs of your head have all been numbered." Before the world began, our Heavenly Father knew us, had the very number of the hairs of our head before His face. That's what Jesus is saying. At this very moment, that is meticulous providence. What does it tell us? That we are under His unspeakable, amazing care, who knows and cares for us and knows all things. Now, our Heavenly Father has perfect knowledge of all things concerning us. He rules all things. He knows all things. We are so well known by God that the hairs of our head are numbered. He says, "Your Father knoweth." There's an incredible amount of comfort in that. The Lord's knowledge of us is constant. It's entire. His knowledge of us is the knowledge not just of some impersonal facts, but it's the knowledge of a tender, sympathetic Father. Now let me say this, God knowing all things does not make Him the author of all things. God is not the author of sin. He's not the author of tragedy. He's the remedy of it. But He knows all of our circumstances. Our Father's constant care. Notice that. But Jesus says here, the one who takes trouble to number the hairs of our head, surely He must care for us. We're the apple of His eye. Cast all of your care upon Him. He cares for you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. The triune God is a wall of fire encircling us. God has numbered our hairs because He values them. Why is that? He holds us in honor and high esteem above all the people of the world because of His gracious purpose toward us in Christ. He's made us one with His darling Son. And because Christ is His beloved and we're in the beloved, we are beloved for Christ's sake. Notice what He says in Isaiah 43. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I've redeemed thee, because I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. The hairs of our head are numbered because God intends, as he said in Luke 21, there shall not a hair of your head perish. That's amazing, isn't it? Trials are certain. Temptations are going to come. Tribulations are a constant in this world, but there's no cause for fear. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. And so, there should be a comforting assurance of divine providence. The primary intent of this word from our Redeemer's lips is to show us our God's constant rule of all things. The spirit cannot fault the sparrow, that little bird. The two of them are sold for a small token as a farthing, mere pennies. It can't fall to the ground. One of them cannot fall to the ground without our Father's providential acknowledgement and care of it. God's providence is mysterious. Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? His judgments are deep. His ways are past finding out. But I know this, God always has his way. His ways are not our ways. And his way is right and best." I get asked from time to time, what does providence mean? The word providence mean? God's providence is his sovereign rule of the universe. Ultimately, it's a sovereign rule of the universe for the salvation of his people to the praise and the glory of his grace. If you are God's, if Christ has redeemed you, God will save you, and he'll do whatever is necessary to uphold you and maintain you according to the dictates of his will. God's providence is mysterious, but it's also minute. You notice the verse that we keep repeating, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Divine providence is inclusive. God rules over all things, great and small, everywhere in all things. Again, that doesn't make him the author of all things, but he's the ruler over all things. He does not cause Satan to rebel as he rebels, but let me say this, he's ruling over and reigning over Satan's rebellion so that Satan can only go as far as God will give him permission. He's been bound and put on a great chain. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in this universe that is not always under the total rule of God. And what consolation that should bring as we recognize that. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, "In whom we have also obtained an inheritance, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've obtained our inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will." God's providence rules over inanimate matter. God's providence rules over inanimate matter. We see that in creation. We see him ruling over the Red Sea as he congeals the waters of the mighty Red Sea and walls them up. We see him ruling over, his providence ruling over the Jordan River as he walls up the waters of the Jordan River. We see he rules in providence over inanimate matter in the fiery furnace so that the flames could not hurt the three Hebrew children. God is in total control. His providence over brute beasts and irrational creatures. You remember God ruled the flies and the frogs and the locusts in Egypt so that they could not, because he would not permit them. They could not go into the land of Goshen. He created the first no-fly zone. He would not allow the flies in Egypt to go into the land of Goshen where his elect family was. He ruled over the whale that swallowed Jonah. His providence ruled over the cock that crowed that night for Peter. God hath prepared his throne in the heaven, David says, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And let me say, he's either Lord over all or he's Lord not at all. Our God and Heavenly Father controls not only irrational but rational creatures as well. David said in Psalm 76, verse 10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. Listen, it may appear to you and I, friends, that things are out of control today as you look across our nation and around this world. But I'm telling you, God is in control. Isaiah said, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? We have no trouble in believing that God controls all things. That is, that he's ruling over all things. They can only go as far as God will suffer and allow them to go. Many people have trouble with that. They have difficulty with that. But we believe, as the Lord has said, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The very hairs of our head are numbered. God's providence, it's mysterious, it's minute. But you can be sure, friends, it's also good. God's providence is good. And I'm thankful to know that God's providence, his works, are executed with irresistible power, the power of his omnipotence. And omnipotence means that God is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. God is in charge. Someone is. Is it God or Satan? Is it God or man? Is it God or the impersonal forces of this universe? I'm telling you, the Word of God teaches us that all power belongs to God. And Isaiah is instructed to say to the righteous that it shall be well with him. And God's providence demands and deserves our unceasing praise. John Gill said that we should give to him the glory of all and observe with wonder and gratitude the various steps of his providence as it respects ourselves and others, and put our trust in him for all things in time and spiritual, and at all times cast our care upon him who cares for us, seeing it is and always will be well with the righteous and time and to all eternity. You say, but what of sickness and illness that may beset me? God will sustain you, as I've seen him do it hundreds of times, for his lambs and sheep in this world, till he sees fit by his kind hand of providence to deliver them and lead them into better worlds beyond. How good God is, beloved. It's good for me to know and to be found in the providential care and keeping of God. There are times that God has been pleased to allow me to experience wounds and to cripple me as he did Jacob by the well, by the ford Jabbok, by the stream Jabbok. There have been times that he needed to get my attention and turn my eyes and my heart to him. That's good. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It's good for me to be in fellowship with God and to walk humbly before him and to learn to be a blessing to others instead of seeking to be a blessing to myself only. It's good to be afflicted at times that I might be weaned from this world, to learn to trust by faith instead of walking by faith, instead of walking by sight, to learn to die in the treasures of a Christian's faith. Whenever God sees fit to use providence, even if it means the wounding of myself, I need to learn to thank God and rejoice. I'm telling you, too much ease in this world can intoxicate me, but too much misery would drive me to despair. Too much sorrow would crush me. Too much suffering would break my spirit, but too much pleasure would ruin me. Too much defeat would discourage me, and too much success would puff me up, swell me up, and too much failure would keep me from doing anything. And too much criticism might harden me. Too much praise might exalt me. God knows exactly what I need. His providence is wisely designed and sovereignly sent for my good. Let him therefore send and do what he will. And by his grace, I will face it. By his grace, I will bow to it. I'll accept it. And I'll give thanks for it. You see, I'm just a child. I'm just a child. I don't understand the way that I need to go. You say, well, Brother Crawford, no, you're nearing 60 years of age. You've been following the Master for decades now. No, friends, I can't take my next step without him. The Apostle Paul said, we know not how to pray as we ought. So the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. We need to rely on God's Spirit. We need to learn to trust God's Spirit to providentially lead us and to direct us in our walk in this world, because we don't know the things that we need. We truly don't. I had a wonderful father. I was very thankful for him. He was a faithful man and he cared for me greatly. And there were decisions that he made on my behalf that I just thought they were terrible. I remember when I was a boy, I was probably about 11 years old, 12, maybe 10 or 11 or 12, somewhere in there. Schwinn bicycles were the greatest thing possible for a 10-year-old boy. They were. An 11-year-old boy couldn't ask for anything better when I was growing up than for a Schwinn bicycle, a 3-speed Schwinn bicycle. And there was one that a neighbor of ours had purchased. They were at an advanced age, and they thought maybe they could ride it and be kind of physical therapy for them. And they only tried it a few times on the bicycle, and they put it out by the road for sale. You couldn't do that today. You'd lose your bicycle. But they did. And every day that I walked to school, I walked past that green Schwinn bicycle, 3-speed, brand new. Didn't have any miles on it. And boy, my fever, it had a for sale sign on it. And every day I'd walk past it and back by it, and I was fevered. And I didn't ask for much. I really didn't. I had many other vices, but I didn't ask for a lot. And after a couple of days of that, I couldn't stand anymore. And I told my father, Dad, I sure would like to have that Schwinn bicycle. And he didn't respond. But he said this. He said, son, I need you to mow the grass. We had a small push mower, 3.5 horse on it. Wasn't self-propelled. You had to push it. And he said, I want you to mow the grass tomorrow when you get home from school. And I said, sure. And I went away sad. Didn't get a positive response on the bike, but he sure responded about the grass needing mowed. And so I came in, and I remember my father had said, you got to mow the grass today, but the boys in the neighborhood, they were ready to play football, and I couldn't stand the call. They said, let's play. I was ready to go. So I spent my afternoon in the backyard playing like I was Larry Zonka, running back touchdowns for the Miami Dolphins. And it was getting late. And so I came inside. My father wasn't home yet, and it was dark. And I was seated in the living room when I saw the lights of his car turning in the driveway, and it was then I remembered I was supposed to mow the grass. And so my father came in and he asked me, he said, son, did you mow the grass? And I hung my head and I said, no, Dad. Am I going to be punished? Am I going to get a spanking? He said, no. And he told me the exact price of the Schwinn bicycle he had stopped. And he said, if you'd done what I asked you to do, when I got home this evening, I was going to go around and I was going to buy the bicycle from Mr. Barnes. But you're not getting the bicycle. I was going to buy it for you, son. You know, right then I thought he was the cruelest, meanest man on the face of the earth. But it made a difference in me. I learned right then, if you're going to have something, you need to be faithful. You need to be willing to be faithful if you're going to have things. We can trust God. My father was wise, but not near as wise as my heavenly father. You can trust him. The lessons may be tough sometimes, but he cares and his providence will provide. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer for Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.